And this is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And of course, the studio computer just goes into safe mode on me. I hate computers. I really do.
Really?
I do. We're here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And as the big voice said, we are commercial-free thanks to GoNetSpeed. So we have more time to help you guys with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns than we ever had because we don't have to stop for... Oh, my whistler's not working. We have to work for that.
Yeah.
For that stuff
anymore. Yeah, those guys.
So we can actually talk to you guys. So get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we're here to help you out with those problems. We are broadcasting live on the old Facebook Live. It's sort of working. I spent a couple of days this past week trying to get this thing to work again. An update. I did an update, Dennis.
You did an update.
This thing has been working
since... Now, who told you to do an update?
I know. What IT guy was I talking to? I did an update, and the computer no longer wants to talk to my USB interfaces. And it said it's because the warning now from Microsoft is that I've got not enough memory capacity on the USB controller. All of a sudden, right? The old IT saying. The old all of a sudden. No, I just updated the software, and that's the problem. It should work. So then I was massaging it and taking devices off one USB port and putting it on another. And I thought I had the perfect combination. Bunch of reboots. Oh. It's working sort of, but my little Stream Deck buttons aren't working because, of course, they don't work.
Yeah.
I can change scenes, sort of. But it's just frustrating that you do an update on something that's been working for 4 years solid or 5 years, almost 5 years now solid.
Oh.
And... It's just welcome to our world, right? And I'm spending all sorts of time trying to figure out why all of a sudden it stopped working. So just to understand, you know, geeks like us are involved in these types of problems too. We're not like we're not like all knowing, all seeing Rushies as Rush used to call it. You know, we can't lay hands on a computer and just like, oh, I know what your problem is. The error that came up saying, you know, didn't have enough cash was like such a short, quick error. It almost never came up in during the troubleshooting. That I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's a bug right there. There's an error right there. And then it goes away.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's sort of working. Changing scenes will be difficult. So we'll see what happens. So what's going on in the technology world, Dennis?
Well, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up of interest locally.
Yeah.
There appears to be a ring of criminals deploying card skimmers.
Right.
They seem to want to hit convenience stores and gas stations more than anything else.
Okay.
But they're putting these card readers on top of existing card readers.
Right.
And it may not be obvious that the thing is there.
Right.
And you're, you know, buying something at the store.
Yeah.
And you're actually handing your account number and PIN.
Right.
To the thieves who then get people to come out and pick up the skimmers because they record that data.
Right.
And then they steal from you later.
Don't use a debit card to buy anything.
Yeah. Use a credit card because there are financial protections involved.
Yeah.
The thing that's happening is that EBT cards are being raided.
Of course.
Or SNAP or what used to be called food stamps.
Sounds about
and
right.
And that's putting the state on the hook for that money.
Well, you and I, just like our electric
bill. Right. It's taxpayer money, too.
Right.
But at any rate, it's becoming an issue, and there's a lot of fraud, and there appears to be a ring of people that are doing it, and they're using drug addicts to deploy and then pick up the skimmers.
Hmm.
And they'll even go into the store. Two or three of them will go in. One has the skimmer, of course,
right.
But
they use
the other one or two will distract a clerk, and then they can get it set up.
You can always, touch the device, right? So you can always kind of see if it's got any kind of loose connections.
Yeah, if it's like wobbly,
yeah,
don't use it at all.
And then, of course, if you stick your card in there and it's a little extra tight. That's also another telltale sign.
Right, because it means there's actually a shim inside the card slot that's reading your data.
Yeah. So try to use a credit card. I mean, if they get the credit card number, that's not the worst thing.
Right.
Debit card, they can empty your bank because they're going to put the actual code in there.
And hopefully the police will pick up on whoever's doing this, but it is a thing.
It is. Another thing that happened, you guys might have noticed the early part of the week, the stock market tanked. It was cured, I heard. The stock market was just completely tanked. And of course, you tried to get on your whatever tool you're using to check your accounts, Schwab, Fidelity, whoever. And you couldn't get on. You couldn't see your bank balances. You couldn't see your account balances. You couldn't make trades.
Yeah. In the middle of a market upheaval and I can't check my balances or anything?
Exactly.
Oh.
So, again, this is back to the cloud, right? You know, the elasticity of the cloud, the ability for the cloud to expand as resources are necessary, deal with bandwidth, add more compute, add more storage. That's the promise somebody told these companies would happen if you put their stuff in the cloud. You wouldn't have these issues where you weren't able to access the resources. And this happens all the time. You know, it's different than a run on a bank where they can lock the doors, right? The doors are locked and you can't go in. This is the interwebs, Dennis. This is the modern time of the internet where we just, you know, Robinhood. Go ahead and get on your Robinhood app and go and buy or sell your life savings. You couldn't do it. So, you know, FTC and the Securities and Exchange, the SEC, there really should be some penalties here. If you're going to create an app that can only be used when everything is wonderful, that doesn't really help us.
Right. The app needs to work in crisis situations.
Right. I mean, it's important for people to dump out of the market so those of us who want to find a nice bargain can do a buy. While you're panicking, we want to walk in and say, okay, we'll buy it. But we couldn't do either. You couldn't sell in a panic. And we couldn't buy as it went down, which, of course, is the right thing. You want to buy low and sell high, not the other way around. So you can't do that when the app doesn't work. And so you would think the Securities Exchange Commission would have some teeth here on these systems that don't deliver. Now, again, this is the cloud for you. This is somebody not provisioning the system properly. This is somebody not provisioning the expansion properly. So, again, somebody in a boardroom doesn't have any IT guys there, and nobody asked the question, hey, if the market tanks 1,000 points, which it hasn't done ever, will we be able to service our customers? And the answer, of course, nobody even asked that question. So the answer never gets happened.
Well, actually, they might have asked. I mean, they might have said, hey, Microsoft, hey, Amazon, what happens if?
Right.
And Microsoft or Amazon or Google or whoever will say, well, that's okay because we have failover and it'll go to another data center.
And then it doesn't. For all these tools. So it does make it difficult to take advantage of this type of thing. This is how you make money. Just something we should talk about as far as where we are when it comes to these technologies not delivering for us. What else you got there, Dennis? Anything interesting?
Well, I've got an AI story.
No, sure. I got one too.
There was a wonderful new device that started being sold. It was announced about a year ago.
Okay.
And it started to be sold early this year.
A wonderful device.
A wonderful device. All right. It's by an AI company called Humane.
All right. It even sounds warm and fuzzy.
Oh, yes. You want to just give it a big fat hug,
there
right?
There you go.
At any rate, it was what they called an AI pin.
Yep.
Literally, that's the name of the product.
And it looked like that,
and
too.
And it's a little square thing that you wear like a pin on your shirt.
All right.
And you would tap it, and it would do things for you. You could talk to it. You could even make phone calls.
Like Star Trek.
Exactly.
I used to love that.
Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Even Star Trek knew that if you didn't want something listening to you unless you actually asked it to listen, right? You had to tap it to listen.
Right. It
Here
did not...
We, Our phones are listening to us all the time.
Right. That's what I was going to point out. It was not actively listening. It would only listen while you're touching it.
While you tapped it.
So.
But if you're jogging, it would go off and on and off and on. I'm just kidding.
At any rate, there were limitations in the product.
Yeah.
And there were certain things that it was supposed to do and just didn't do very well.
Yeah.
So between all the stuff that it couldn't do at all and all the stuff that it didn't do right, all the people that bought these things, and they're not cheap. It was hundreds of dollars for this thing.
Yeah.
And it's something like $40 or $50 a month for the subscription to the service.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because it's not enough just to buy a thing. You got to pay that monthly fee.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of money for AI. What could it do? Like get you a recipe when you needed it?
It could dictate a recipe. It could do a lot of things. At any rate, it has reached the point where people are now returning these things at a higher rate than they are being sold.
All right. So clearly,
yeah, it is a very bad dead product.
Gotcha. But at least they had the right idea. Tap me first.
Well, that I give them credit for.
Yeah,
because that is
they watch Star
Trek. And private.
Yeah. Yep, they watch Star Trek.
The rest of it, it's apparently garbage,
junk. More AI garbage. Here's some kind of creepy AI garbage. There's a new AI pendant that wants to be your friend.
Now, this is a different kind of a product than the one I just talked about.
Correct, but similar.
Okay.
In this case, it's actually called Friend, and it's an AI-driven solution to loneliness. You know how our Senator Murphy wants to solve loneliness. Well, here you go, Senator Murphy. You can go ahead and spend some tax dollars on these pendants, and it hangs below your neck there.
Okay.
And you will have it. It'll listen to what's going on in your life, and you can talk to your friend, and it'll text back to you. Imagine you and I chatting, Dennis, and it's listening to our chat, and I walk away, and then the friend goes, "Man, what a jerk that guy was," you know, in a text. So this is supposed to be the solution to loneliness, and there's much better solutions to loneliness, like community bands. Like, I'm part of these community bands. There's great amounts of folks of ages from high school up to 80. That come together every week. We play in a band. That's a solution to loneliness. Do you think they spend any energy and time and money on making sure there's band shells and places for us to rehearse? No.
They never. Don't.
They care about a football field that has turf on it. Great. But you want to solve loneliness? Let's build some musical band type of environments that are, you know, something that the entire community can use. Yeah, that's crazy talk. But Senator Murphy, here's your solution. Go ahead and get a friend pendant and just send it out to everybody, and we'll no longer be lonely because you'll actually be getting texts from AI. Nothing creepy about that, and it'll be listening constantly. There was actually a movie about this, like Siri, right? Isn't there a movie where the guy fell in love with Siri?
Oh yeah, that was maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we've come a little ways now. Now we've got AI that's your friend. So we'll see how this goes. It's not vaporware, it's real. We'll put the link up here for you from Life Hacker, and you can see they've got $2.5 million in seed money. So we'll see what happens. Let's see how far it goes. Anything else you want to talk about?
Here's another public service announcement.
Uh-huh.
There was recently a data breach.
Yeah. Oh, really?
When isn't there one?
I know, every day.
But there was a data breach at a company that a lot of people don't really know about.
Okay.
It's a behind-the-scenes data brokerage company.
Ah.
They collect and provide data to services that do things like background checks.
Okay.
So they collect a lot of data on a lot of people.
Interesting.
What's really interesting about this particular company is that they actually go into the dark web to collect data on people.
More reliable than the real web, bro.
Well, some cases, maybe.
Yeah.
At any rate, there appears to have been a breach of that company's data.
Mm.
You have any idea of how many people's data
1 million.
Is in this trove?
1 million?
No.
6 million.
No.
50 million.
No. You're not in the right zone. You got to think of orders of magnitude here.
1 billion.
No, not even 1 billion.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Almost 3 billion people's data.
Wow.
And a lot of this data goes back a long time.
Yep.
So at least some of those people are now deceased.
Right.
And, of course, some of that data is of questionable merit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, that data is now being auctioned off on dark websites.
Right. Right back to where it came from.
And there's even a class action lawsuit being filed over it, of course.
Lovely.
As you would expect.
Right. Well, yeah, keep the attorneys busy.
Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, here's the problem with that. I mean, you have a data brokerage.
Yep.
They actually go to the dark web to get all this stuff.
Right. It's
and
already there.
What do they do with it?
Yeah.
What do they do with it?
They
sell it, but they've got it.
Yep.
They don't lock it down.
Of course not. Well, it's already on the dark web. It's already out there. That's what they're thinking.
Well, maybe. You know? Maybe they were. I don't know.
I don't know. We got some callers. You want to take some callers?
Sure, absolutely.
Let's go to Glastonbury first and Andrew. Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yes, I have a question related to what you just talked earlier about the failed cloud services.
Yeah.
With the crisis, brief crises. Right. And basically, did that happen because our service, the cloud services, have not been properly updated, modified to accelerated computing technology, yeah, as invented by NVIDIA? And my other question is, do you agree with the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, that his accelerated computing technology is the beginning phase of a new technological revolution on the same scale as the invention of the steam engine, the internal combustion engine, and the electric motor?
Mm.
And other people say that Chat GPT is equivalent to what Netscape was at the beginning of the internet revolution.
So, yeah, I mean, I've talked about this before, and we kind of talked about this as far as my feelings when it comes to AI. It feels like the dot-com bubble when it comes to AI. It feels like the year 2000, where everyone was so excited about this thing called the internet. Some people said the internet wouldn't be a thing.
Right.
Amazon didn't make any money for 20 years, right? And so it does feel like AI is kind of on the cusp of, you know, there's lots of people who have pumped it up, right, as something that it's really not. And we're going to have Wes Bryan on talking a little bit about the AI model collapse, because the AI models have a bit of a flaw that they didn't really take into consideration when they started really pumping out this AI data. So I do feel it's kind of like on the cusp of, like, you know, Netscape and what have you. And it could be a good thing. The problem is, if you invest in it now, will you win in 20 years? Because lots of people invested a lot of money during the dot-com 2000 age and lost their shirts. I mean, Al Gore made a lot of money, but lots of us, you know, invested because we were right there on the cusp and we're putting money into these things. And we still haven't recovered from some of those peaks that happened in 2000. Heck, if you look at Intel, you got your butt kicked just recently. So my feeling is, yes, it's kind of like Netscape. And because it feels like Netscape, I'd be careful as far as, is it 10 years out from being really something that's going to work out? Is it 20 years out? Is it tomorrow? And I would contend that pumping and dumping is what happens so much in this world, that we are being told AI is much more than it is. And we might find there's some suckers to be had before it becomes real, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to follow up and say, you know, I've heard a lot of people make a lot of predictions about a lot of the stuff they make.
Right.
And you have to realize that a guy like Jensen Huang, he has every incentive to overstate the ability of his company.
Right.
I mean, he really does. I mean, he's a salesman.
Yep.
In addition to running the company, he's selling their product.
Right.
So, you know, you gotta listen to stuff like that and with a grain of salt. Huge grain of salt, maybe a truckload of salt.
Yeah. And if you juxtapose it with what just happened, where you can't use your apps to simply trade stocks during an issue that occurs, if you have 40,000 servers in your Delta network that goes down and brings your entire operation down, we're so far away from having AI, I think, be of any kind of value. I mean, you just juxtapose it with that.
So are you implying that accelerated computing technology is still not as sophisticated as it should be, and will it be more sophisticated in the near future?
It will be more sophisticated in the near future, but again, lots of compute power, lots of energy, lots of heat produced by these AI engines. It's going to be another crypto problem where you're spending so much energy on having the AI do all this work for you. We have to work on better computers, better ways to keep them cool, better ways. It's so far, as far as I'm concerned, it's again, feels dot-com bubble-ish to me. You know, and that took a good 20, maybe 10 years, 15 years to really flush out after that pop occurred to be the point where we're making some money here. So I think it's going to be longer than people say, and especially with the AI model collapse studies that have come out recently, where they didn't think about the fact that AI is going to use the output of other AIs, and that's not a good idea.
Right. And there's another consideration, too.
Mm.
Right now, if you have an AI company and you want to develop an AI algorithm, you can have an in-house data center and run that stuff.
Right.
But in a lot of cases, they are almost forced to use cloud services to host some of their stuff because they just can't buy the equipment quickly enough themselves and set it up.
Right.
Well, that means that all these AIs are very cloud dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the cloud is a lot more delicate than it has any right to be.
Right.
And there's going to be problems with that. So all of these AI algorithms that are being developed partly or even wholly on cloud services, those are on a literally half-cracked foundation as it is, as an infrastructure.
Right.
It feels- so how good are they going to be? How quickly?
Right.
I think we may be overestimating not only how good they are, but how well they can advance in the future. There are going to be advancements. I don't think they're going to be quick.
Like self-driving cars, how's that gone? Right? I mean, Elon Musk calls it autopilot. It's not that. I mean, there are some autopilot, autonomous stuff that he's gotten going, but it's still so far away. And when he was calling it autopilot 5 or 7 years ago, all it was just like extra super cruise control, right? It would still run into, you know, emergency vehicles that were parked on the highway. So it's been, at least 10 years since that was released. So I don't know. I don't think we have, it's not here tomorrow. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I could be wrong. We easily could be wrong. We're not the sharpest hacks.
Sure.
It just feels this way. It just feels to me like .com-ish, like the .com bubble to me. AI is like all talk and no.
I'm hearing a lot of salesmanship. Yeah.
What do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, when I heard Jensen Huang speak in several of his interviews, he was saying that general computing is basically enhanced by accelerated computing technology, and they work hand in hand. So accelerated computing technology right now is at the level that NVIDIA's graphic cards are at, but there's always room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I mean, the internet improved. I mean, Netscape basically over the years morphed into Google search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that accelerated computing technology will advance will advance over time.
Yes.
And we will have a better standard of living, as improved by the steam engine, the internal combustion engine, and the electric motor.
Well, so that maybe if you can get real information that's not confused or biased. Again, we've talked about this. Is the world flat? If the AI says yes, it is, or depends, I think your steam engine is not going to work so well. You need to make sure that the questions that you get answered by AI are truth,
right,
and not someone's truth. And that gets a little messy. It gets political. It gets ugly, and it shouldn't. But the steam engine either worked or it didn't. AI can't. If you want to improve everything, it actually has to be real, has to be truth. And if it gets to be truth, I think you're right. If it's politically colored, I think we're not going to get what we want. We're going to end up going to idiocracy, and that's just me. But thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your time.
All right, Andrew. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and I got to change the little setting on our Facebook live feed. I can't use my nice buttons because they don't work.
Oh, no.
There we go. So I was able to reach over to the laptop instead of using the nice technology I have right here to do it. It doesn't talk to it anymore. you know, again, geeks have the same problems everybody else does when it comes to
technology. We do. We do.
All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're going to get right to your calls. We're going to go to Steve in Woodbury next. What's going on, Steve?
Yes. How you doing? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. I'm having what appears to be an addressing issue with an Ethernet connection. I have a computerized radio that I interface to my regular computer, which is a Windows 11 machine, and it has the manufacturer's software, and I've been using it for a long time, and I didn't have any problems. And I just recently purchased a new Wi-Fi system, one of these mesh systems.
Yeah.
Because I have a long distance from where the internet comes into the house and where the room is located.
Yep.
And it seems to have changed the IP address on my computer. The IP address used to be 10.0.0.12.
Yep.
And now it's changed to something 192.168.1.202.
Yeah,
and I can't figure out how to. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't figure out how to change it back, and I can't figure out how to get the software to recognize this. So I was wondering if you guys can give me a clue here.
Well, what you would have to do is to get into the administration interface for that mesh routing system. Whatever the device is. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to have to do is change the default setup, which was to give you a 192.168.1.whatever network,
right,
and change it to establish 10. A 10.0.0.0-whatever network.
Yeah.
The other thing that you're going to want to do, once you've made that change and restarted the router so that it's running that way,
mm-hmm,
is to get into its interface a second time and
hold on a second. Can you go through that once more?
Yeah. So most likely the interface to get to that firewall or that router you purchase is going to be 192.168.1.1.
Right.
Whatever your gateway is. So if you do an IP config on your in a DOS prompt, you'll see what your gateway IP is. That typically is the device handing out DHCP, which is the IP addresses that you're getting. So if the gateway is 192.168.1.1, like I suspect, you put that in a browser, and now you're going to get the login page for whatever device you just bought.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
And
so I have to find a way to log into the router itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should get that with the instructions that came with it.
Yeah.
Or with the online manual that you can download.
The little read me first card? Yeah, the one that you chucked when you opened it up.
Yeah, the read me first card really didn't have much. It actually, the system that I bought, actually, I needed very little. I mean, it installed very easily. I was surprised. I was, prepared to spend the whole day messing with it. And it just everything just started right up. So they really didn't supply a lot of information, and the system didn't really need it.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to go dig for this.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not that much digging. Like Dennis said, go look for the manual based on the model of device.
Yeah.
And it's going to, now you want to do this because you've not changed the admin password. You've, mm-hmm, you've kept everything default, which is a big no-no.
No, I didn't do that. I changed the password.
Oh, so you were in it then. You did get into the system then.
I suppose somewhere it did ask me about a password and I changed it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you got into what I'm thinking is that you did get into the interface, and because it knew that it was new on a new network.
Or you changed the SSID password.
It launched some kind of a setup wizard.
Yeah.
I'm guessing a lot of them will do that.
SSID password.
But, well, yeah, it would have established one of its own, probably.
Yeah.
But it does sound like during that setup process, it did tell him to change his password.
Right.
At any rate, what you're going to do is open up that same interface, mm-hmm, that you did the first time and get into that. In there, you're going to change the settings for your local network. You're going to
restart DHCP settings.
Right. DHCP settings. You're going to change that setup. You're going to restart your devices. You're going to restart the router so that everything is now running on that network again.
Right. Your devices
and
are going to get
the new
IP
address.
They're
all running fresh because they've all picked up their new DHCP addresses.
Right.
At any rate, then you go back into the interface of the router, and in the DHCP settings, you should be able to reserve an IP address.
Right.
And you're going to reserve the IP address of your computer.
And that radio thing.
And the probably the radio should be reserved, too.
Yeah. That way it doesn't get
a
different address.
And then you just use whichever IP address it assigned as part of its DHCP, mm-hmm. and just stick with those numbers, whatever they are.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does make... I guess it'll make more sense when I actually look at it.
Maybe.
Okay, I have to reserve the DHCP addresses for... both the computer and the radio.
Right. Yeah.
That way they don't get different addresses. And also, while you're in there, and now you're going to become an expert at DHCP, you're going to configure OpenDNS.
Okay. Well, I have OpenDNS configured on the old system, and I assumed it just carried over. Is that not correct?
That's not correct.
No.
No, because that network is gone. And it's not, you're handing out 192.168 addresses now, and the DNS address you're handing out now is back to the default one from your internet provider, which is not safe. So you want to go back and configure that too.
Okay. More fun and games,
yes.
Huh?
Now you're going to get that manual. You're going to get in there and get dirty.
If you can give us the make and model of the router, we can get a link to the manual for you if you'd like and put it on the website and on Facebook.
Yeah, it's the Linksys mesh system.
What's the model?
Hold on a second. I'd have to get that.
Okay. Yeah, you can always look at the bottom of the device typically. Yeah. It'll give you the model. But yeah, this is all networking. This is, you know, it all works, right? Until you have to actually customize it and configure something that's set for a static IP on a different network. And it's also good just for you guys out there too. If you're working remotely, connecting into your home office, your work offices, right? They don't want you to connect on the same IP addresses they have. And a lot of small business networks are 192.168.1.1. type networks, and if you configure your home network that way, it causes a problem. So it's always good to configure a different network.
Yeah, we get support calls about that at TAB.
Right. You can do 192, and you can do 168, but you can be a 2-dot or some other network,
or 200 or a 10-dot, or something like that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, we're here.
It's an LN 1200.
L as in Larry, N as in Nancy, 1200.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find the manual and post it for you.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
All right. Okay. I hope so. I'm going to give it a try. If not, you'll hear from me next week.
We're here. We're here for you, sir.
All right. Thank you for your help.
Our pleasure.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, networking. That's networking. That's the heart of networking. IP addresses, leases, DNS. You know, while you're in there, you want to configure OpenDNS so that every device on your network that comes into your home is going to get that safer internet DNS rather than that very dangerous internet DNS from your internet provider. It's going to be much more filtered, and it gives you the ability to filter even further, right? You're going to have all the malicious sites will be filtered away from your users of your network. So when they're at your house, they have less chance of getting hit with something than if they're on their own networks. So do yourself a favor. All right, let's go to Jerry in Summers next. What's going on, Jerry? You there, Jerry? Oh, boy. Jerry, turn your radio down, Jerry.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I've got two simple questions. I've got an old XP computer at Dell, a Windows 95, and I need a new computer.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a Lenovo 27-inch Windows 11. How do you feel about Lenovo?
I have mixed feelings about Lenovo. I don't know why I keep getting this question. It's like this third time someone's asked me this question. So,
yeah,
Lenovo, you know, they bought ThinkPad from IBM.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was a ThinkPad, it was a really good quality laptop. I mean, it's a Chinese company, and it's okay. It wouldn't be my first choice. I would tell you to think about HP or another brand, just me, my preference. We've had issues with support on the Lenovos. Hard to get the support that you need. So that's my feeling on it. But you know, it's one of the big three or four makers out there. So
yeah. So you're still happy with Dell though? Dell or HP?
Dell's fine.
Or HP or
yeah, we're actually fine, we're HP, actually like yeah, we've been loving HP for many many years, but we're actually considering offering Dell laptops as well to our business clients because we're a Dell partner now.
Oh, okay. Okay. And one quick question: I want to get a new printer.
Yeah.
And do I get an Echo, the ones you fill with, or get a cartridge? Because I don't print a heck of a lot, so.
Yeah, no, Shaq's right. He's pushing those Eco tanks, and we agree. We've talked about them a lot. They actually are a great way to use ink cartridges affordably. So we would definitely have you check out the Eco tank if you're going to be doing a lot of color printing.
Okay. Well, I'll look at the HP then, and I really don't want to spend $1,000 on a new desktop because, you know, it's just for browsing. So,
well, wait a minute.
No, there's no such thing as just browsing anymore.
No.
Web browsers are very serious, very powerful programs now.
They need a lot of hardware.
They need good specs. Your web browsing experience is not going to be good if you're running it on a, I don't know, what is it, a Centrino processor or whatever it is. You don't want that.
You want a
good computer.
Late gen, you know, Gen 13, 14, even though they do have issues, Intel does have issues with the Gen 13 and 14 processors. There's a fix coming out with the voltage issue, but spend the money. Trust me, the only machine you've had is the XP, right?
Yeah, and it's still Windows 95.
Yeah, right. So it owes you nothing, and if you've been running that, I guess technically, Dennis, if he's been running that, he really doesn't know what good browsing experience is. But when you get to nowadays, you definitely want to consider something more in that $800 to $1,000 range, and it's going to give you that 6 years or more of service. Based on when you bought it way back when, because when you bought it back in the past, computers were made a little more, I think, durably. They're not as durable as they used to be.
Right. And I also want to print off my laptop, which is a Windows 8.1, and that's a Dell.
Yep.
And so I've got to get a printer that'll accept that, and I don't know whether,
it'll work.
Pretty much all of them will work. Yeah.
Okay.
The driver architecture hasn't really changed all that much since Windows 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help. Appreciate
Our pleasure.
It.
Good luck, Jerry.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you definitely want to spend the right amount of money. You don't want to go too cheap. You're just not going to be happy with the result. And, you know, we've always said a $500 computer is not a $1,000 computer half off. There are different specs within those $1,000 computers, different qualities of the cases. Try to stay with metal so the hinges don't break on you. Stay with a current generation 13, 14 gen processor, even with the issues Intel's having, it's the right way to go. 16 gigs of RAM, at least a 500 to 1,000 gig solid state hard drive. If you're purchasing any kind of computer these days and is still using a spinny drive, run away. Don't buy it. All solid state these days. It'll serve you best in the long run. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be talking with Wes Bryan from ACI Learning, right? He'll be talking in a little bit with us about AI model collapse. And you know, we had the other caller talking about, is AI going to be like this change, like the steam engine was or the Industrial Revolution? And there are these new studies coming out where AI didn't seem to do a good job of marking its output so that other AI doesn't use it in its own understanding of scraping information. So it becomes technically dumber and dumber and dumber. And there's a story that we have here in The Verge that came out. OpenAI won't watermark ChatGPT text because its users could get caught.
What?
Yep. Some ChatGPT users said they'd use ChatGPT less if it includes watermarks. So here's the thing, right? You want to cheat on your paper. AI, if it doesn't watermark its stuff, is going to actually self-implode. The people who write the AI say, I won't watermark it so that you don't get caught. We want you to keep using it because we want your content. So again, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy here. This is coming from the Wall Street Journal, I guess. But the company is divided internally over whether to release a watermark on their output. And of course, all sorts of teachers are like just beside themselves with these kids just writing a paper. You know, I remember going and having to write a paper on a sperm whale when I was in middle school. I still remember it, having to sit there in the library and bust open the encyclopedias to understand what a sperm whale is. Now you can just tell it's ChatGPT to write the whole paper and it's done in 5 minutes.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a difficult thing to do anymore.
No, and you don't learn anything in the process.
I can't tell you much about a sperm whale either, but, you know, back then maybe I did. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's, they don't want to turn off your their users. 30% said they would use the software less if watermarking was implemented. But in order to save AI, they're going to have to mark it.
yeah.
So we'll see what happens, and we'll put a link up here for you guys to read it. And we'll talk a little bit more about it with Wes Bryan at 10:05. All right, let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to George in Windsor next. What's happening, George?
Good morning. I'm having a problem opening stuff off of my taskbar. I try to open things, and a user, George, application data roaming, Microsoft, and just Internet Explorer, Quick Launch, all that stuff. It doesn't open.
It just sits?
It just sits there. Now, I can right-click on it and hit a button that says New Window. New one opens, closes, and now it opened up again. I wonder what the heck's going on.
What the heck indeed. How long has it been since you've rebooted this thing?
Rebooted it? You mean turn it off and turn it on?
Yep.
Every night.
Oh, all right. Because sometimes if people don't reboot, you get these types of results where it's just kind of running out of resources.
Right. All right. Now, which browser did you say you were using?
I have Google on one and I have Edge on the other.
All right, and it's doing the same thing on both, or?
I'll try to open up Edge right now.
Okay.
It's thinking.
Okay.
Oh, yes, okay, that one did open, but most of the time it doesn't open.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Edge doesn't open?
Most of the time.
Edge is actually working better than Google. I'll try Edge again. Yeah, it opened.
Okay.
But there's a game that I play on there that doesn't open, but let me see if that opens today.
Sounds like did you do an update, George, on your machine?
It's updated as far as it'll go, but it's Windows 10.
Yeah.
And they're telling me that Windows 10 is going to disappear.
In October of next year.
Yeah. You've got a while.
Oh. Any ideas as to why I can't open up Google from this?
Well,
I'm thinking what you might want to do is to uninstall it,
mm-hmm.
reboot the computer,
uh-huh.
and then reinstall it.
Uninstall Google, reboot it, and then reinstall it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Now save your bookmarks.
Yeah, export your bookmarks.
You know, I had a specialized, I won't even mention the name, get in there to do some work for me, and all my bookmarks, they disappeared. My whole password thing disappeared.
Well, that's probably good, actually. You don't want to have your password saved in Google.
Okay. I'll give that a try then. I appreciate the comments.
All right, George. Yep. Good luck.
Have a good day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Definitely don't save your passwords for anything important in Google. The hackers will go after that space within the browser.
Yeah. And it even if you want to keep your passwords, what you're going to find is that over time, multiple passwords are going to be set up for different accounts, and there's going to be confusion. And when you log into some of them, sometimes the password that it picks to enter for you isn't the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that sometimes it really is best to just periodically flush them out.
There you go.
You know, in the old days, people used to say, You know, with a Windows computer, you do a factory reset and start over, what, once a year or something?
Yeah, we have had we've had people on the show talk about it. That's people, what they do.
Now, I'm sure there are people out there listening right now who probably still do that. It's okay if you've got the time to put in.
Right.
But in this case, it is a wise policy. If you really think it's a good idea to save your passwords in the browser, and it's not. You still should do it, but
yeah,
be that as it may.
Did we talk about the power hat yet? Oh, or is that off air?
Power hat?
Yeah, EcoFlow.
Oh, well, tell me about a power hat.
So there's my wife and I have been in the hat market, not because of my shiny head, but because my sister-in-law is getting married and she's requiring all of us to wear hats to the wedding.
Okay.
Don't get me started. And so I was doing some research on hats. I wanted to find something, you know, functional, something I might use. My kids dragged me back into golf, so I was looking at, you know, maybe the Jack Norman thing there, that the shark hat there he had. But I came across the EcoFlow. It's a power hat. It's a floppy hat that will help you charge your cell phone.
What?
So, yep. You can walk around on the beach with your floppy hat. There's a women's flavor and a men's flavor. And there's like a USB interface on the back. It's a standard USB and then a USB-C.
Okay.
And so as your hat takes the rays from the sunshine around your noggin, you can plug in your phone and have it charge while you're walking around. And now this hat is $129.
Ouch.
But imagine what kind of cool mom you'd be on the beach nowadays, right? You got your 15-year-old there with his cell phones running out of power, and he's been sitting there on the beach playing with his cell phone, you know, not in the water, not digging, not making a sandcastle, but playing on a cell phone. And you can say, hey, we can charge your phone right now, son. You don't need to go in the water and splash around. You can keep charging. Plug it into my hat. So it's here for you to check out, and I didn't get one for the wedding, although my wife wouldn't let me because I was going to do it. But it's basically 12-watt charging. And I don't know if you don't mind having a charging station around your head like that. I mean, that RF probably isn't healthy.
I mean, on your head?
Yeah, and just imagine if there's an electrical issue around your head there and you get zapped or something. But it's pretty geeky. I mean, of all the things that are out there, actually, ability to charge a cell phone while you're at, you know, if you're watching the kids' baseball game, right? And you're out there watching the game, it's 90 degrees, you get your hat on, and you're charging your cell phone at the same time. Everyone will think you're the cool mom. So we'll put the link up here for you guys. You can take a look at it. It's a thing. And I don't know if I put it on my head, but for $129, I think I could.
Actually, it looks like they're on sale for $80, $79.99.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
Or $79 even, sorry.
That's a bargain. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Wes Bryan is going to join us from IT Pro TV, ACI Learning, right? And he'll chat with us a little bit about what's going on with them and what's going on with model collapse with AI. You know, everyone's so excited about AI and the potential of AI. And we all are. I am,
sure.
Too. I would love to have AI tell me what they're writing in these laws so that we can actually understand, you know, what they're doing to us. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, you get these 1,000-page laws that are chucked in front of lawmakers. Wouldn't it be nice to run an AI against it and say, do you know you're doing this to the people? I would like to know that.
And I would like to have some instructions on how to do things in Microsoft 365 that require PowerShell.
Because
they can't bother to put whatever the function is in the graphic interface. And it always takes multiple commands in PowerShell.
Right.
And if the AI can just tell me how to do it, hey, that's great.
So we're both looking for that future of AI. But again, there's a problem, right, that we just heard about thanks to just some recent stories that says the AI systems are actually getting dumber as they actually take input from other AI systems. So when they're scraping this data, they're hoping you, as always, you're the commodity, you're the source, right? So all these systems, you look at Google, you look at Microsoft, you look at all these companies that always said, hey, we're not looking at your data. Oh, yeah. I assure you're not now, because you need fresh content constantly, And if the AI model actually looks at AI-generated data, it gets dumber and dumber and dumber. It gets less detailed. It gets you worse results to the point of collapse, where the actual output is gibberish and useless. So it looks like they might have known this could happen, but these studies show that it does and is happening.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
And now they got to actually do something about it. And this last ChatGPT story of marking the AI output means that once you have it created, you're going to have to copy and paste it into your Word document. You just can't use the raw output. So we'll be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get on. Everything we've talked about has been posted at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And if you're part of the Computer Talk with Tab listener network on Facebook, we're broadcasting live there. Not as perfect as I'd like it, but it's running. And all the links are there for you as well. We'll be right back.